I'm Reverend Lisa Day, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Welcome to our weekly radio program, where you'll hear a segment from one of our recent services recorded at our church on beautiful Troop Square. We invite you to join us Sundays at 11 a.m. in person or via live stream on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and more about Unitarian Universalism in Savannah at our website, uusavannah.org. We hope you enjoy today's program.
Good morning. Salutations to my sweaty, spirited, sassy souls. I greet you as one of your own. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. My name is Jessica Levitt-Watara, and I'll be serving as the worship associate today. Our speaker this morning is Lee Robbins. Lee currently serves as the deputy director at the Mediation Center of the Coastal Empire in Savannah, Georgia. Since joining the center in 2012, Lee has played a vital role in leading conflict resolution programs, managing daily operations across multiple departments, and spearheading innovative community-based initiatives. He holds a Master of Social Work from Florida State University and brings over a decade of nonprofit leadership experience. Welcome, Lee. Thanks for being with us. Here at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah, we are working to build a diverse, multicultural, and beloved community. We celebrate the presence and participation of people of all races, genders, sexual orientations, abilities, ethnic and national origins. We warmly welcome you, whether you're on YouTube or if you're here with us on site, whoever you know yourself to be, and wherever you are on your journey. With the lighting of our chalice, the symbol of Unitarian Universalist faith, we enter into sacred time. In the Unitarian Universalist tradition, our chalice is symbolic of the light of reason, the warmth of community, and the flame of hope. Today, our words come from Bits Winicky. May this flame, symbol of transformation since time began, fire our curiosity, strengthen our wills, and sustain our courage as we seek what is good within and around us. For our call to worship today, I wanted to share from a book that has served me very well over the last 15 years called The Language of Letting Go by Melody Beattie. Today, the story I'm going to share is called Achieving Harmony. When a pianist learns a new piece of music, he or she does not sit down and instantly play it perfectly. A pianist often needs to practice each hand's work separately to learn the feel, to learn the sound. One hand picks out a part until there is a rhythm and ease in playing what is difficult. Then the musician practices with the other hand, picking through each note one by one until that hand learns its task. When each hand has learned its part, the sound, the feel, the rhythm, the tones, then both hands can play together. During the time of practice, the music may not sound like much. It may sound disconnected, not particularly beautiful. But when both hands are ready to play together, music is created. A whole piece comes together in harmony and beauty. Today for our meditation, I'm going to be sharing a poem that comes from the poet Andrea Gibson. This is their poem titled, How the Worst Day of My Life Turned into the Best. When I realized the storm was inevitable, I made it my medicine. Took two snowflakes on the tongue in the morning. Two snowflakes on the tongue at noon. There were no side effects, only sound effects. Reverb added to my lifespan, an echo that asked, what part of your life's record is skipping? What wound is on repeat? Have you done everything you can to break out of that groove? By nighttime, I was intimate with the difference between tying my laces and tuning the string section of my shoes, made a symphony of walking away from everything that did not want my life to sing. Felt a love for myself so consistent, metronomes tried to copy right my heartbeat. Finally understood that I am the conductor of my own life and will be even after I die. I, like the trees, will decide what I become. Porch swing, church pew, an envelope that must be licked to be closed. A kinky choice, but I didn't close. I opened and opened until I could imagine that the pain was the sensation of my spirit not breaking. That my mind was a parachute that could always open in time. That I could wear my heart on my sleeve and never grow out of that shirt. That every falling leaf is a tiny kite with a string too small to see, held by the part of me in charge of making beauty out of grief.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me here today. And I'm going to read a poem that that'll help with the topic today. And I'll read the poem, and then we'll talk about transformation. This poem is by Martine Espada. Imagine the Angels of Bread. This is the year that squatters evict landlords, gazing like admirals from the rails of the roof deck, or levitating hands in praise of steam in the shower. This is the year that shawled refugees deport judges who stare at the floor and their swollen feet as files are stamped with their destination. This is the year that police revolvers, stove hot, blister the fingers of raging cops. And nightstick splinter in their palms. This is the year that dark-skinned men lynched a century ago returned to sip coffee quietly with the apologizing descendants of their executioners. This is the year that those who swim the borders undertow and shiver in boxcars are greeted with trumpets and drums at the first railroad crossing on the other side. This is the year that the hands pulling tomatoes from the vine uproot the deed to the earth that sprouts the vine. The hands canning tomatoes are named in the will that owns the bedlam of the cannery. This is the year that the eyes stinging from the poison that purifies toilets awaken at the last to the sight of a rooster-loud hillside, pilgrimage of immigrant birth. This is the year that cockroaches become extinct, that no doctor finds a roach embedded in the ear of an infant. This is the year that food stamps of adolescent mothers are auctioned like gold doubloons. If the abolition of slave manacles began as a vision of hands without manacles, then this is the year. If the shutdown of extermination camps began as imagination of a land without barbed wire or the crematorium, then this is the year. If every rebellion begins with the idea that conquerors on horseback are not many-legged gods, that they too drown if plunged in the river, then this is the year. So may every humiliated mouth, teeth like desecrated headstones, fill with the angels of bread. Thank you for that. And I'm excited to be here this morning to talk about transformation. How do we transform together? And that poem by Martin Espada is a great, it's about imagining and for your imagination to run wild about what is possible and what is for us to accomplish what is possible. To have that imagination, we have to have hope. And so, just like everything in this world, sometimes things just align, right? So we heard the story earlier about the acorn. I'm going to tell another story about an oak tree and a willow tree. And that, it just means that today is going to be a great day. Things are aligning so well. So, this is the story of the willow and the oak. In a land where the seasons brought both gentle breezes and fierce gales, stood a magnificent willow tree. Its branches, though graceful, were often buffeted by the strong winds, leaving some broken and others tangled. The willow longed for strength and resilience, a way to stand tall against the elements without losing its inherent flexibility. One spring, a group of smaller, sturdier oak trees, probably brought by that squirrel, began to grow at the willow base. Initially, the willow saw them as intruders, competing for sunlight and nutrients, but as the seasons changed, the willow noticed something remarkable. The oak trees, with their strong trunks and deep roots, provided a buffer against the harshest winds. Their collective strength lessened the impact on the willow's delicate branches. Inspired by this unintentional collaboration, the willow began to adapt. It gently entwined its lower branches with the budding oak branches, creating a shared network of support. The oak trees, in turn, discovered that the willow's flexibility allowed them to sway more gracefully in the gentler breeze, protecting their own more rigid branches from snapping in the gust. That sounds like Savannah. Over time, the willow and the oaks grew into a unique and powerful grove. The winds still came, but they no longer brought the same fear of destruction. Instead, they were met with a collective force, a living testament to the power of transformation through unity. The willow's graceful branches and the oak's sturdy trunks, once seen as desperate, had become an interdependent, beautiful, and resilient whole. And that's such a great story about coming together, transformation. So I'm Lee Robbins. I'm a father, a husband, a community mediator, a director of a nonprofit. Our nonprofit, Mediation Center, turns 40 next year. That's the Mediation Center of the Coastal Empire, where I've worked for the last 13 years. Our center's mission is to create access to justice, to prevent violence, and build connections through processes like mediation and restorative circles. I serve as the lead trainer at the center, helping volunteers learn to support others in times of conflict. And as a trainer, though I never really set out to be an educator, I've learned something that is just fascinating. To help individuals connect, sometimes you have to throw them off with a question. The question that connects, a question that we'd call magical. And so I'm going to ask you all the same question I ask every training at the start. What is your favorite movie? Think about it. And if you're one of those that says, I don't watch movies, well, you read books. You read poems, you watch TV, you tell stories. What's your favorite story? What's your favorite book? Think about that. Mediators ask a lot of questions, by the way. I've got like 30, I'm joking. I've got a lot of questions embedded in my talk today. My next question is, as you're thinking about your favorite movie or book or story, is what makes it your favorite book, story, or movie? Some will say it's the characters or the emotion, maybe the setting. For those that write, for those that love to read, for those that love film, what really draws us in is the conflict that the main character experiences through Act Two. The obstacle, the transformation, we return to the stories because something changes and it gives us hope that we can too. What do you think about when you think about conflict? Most imagine yelling, arguing, blame, some silence, others violence. It's normal. Most of us are taught to avoid conflict or fight to win. Not all cultures respond to conflict in either way, and not all people need to either. At the Mediation Center, we view conflict differently. Conflict is not failure. Conflict is invitation. Conflict is not a bad thing. An invitation to engage, listen, repair, and imagine better. Undressed, conflict can fracture relationships. Unaddressed, conflict can fracture relationships. But when embraced with courage, conflict can be a catalyst for healing, connection, and transformation. And we see this in the world around us every day. Mutual aid networks feed the hungry. A child with special needs is seen in an IEP meeting. A friend finds recovery and becomes a mentor. A teenager experiences the power of forgiveness and gains lifelong connections. A survivor finds a voice, finds their voice. As Martin Espada writes in that poem, if the abolition of slave manacles began as a vision of hands without manacles, this is the year. Transformation begins with imagination. When we reframe conflict, we begin to imagine again. We speak, we listen, we begin to trust and build something new. So what helps us transform together? As a mediator and an educator, I mean, we have a few things that tend to come up. Right? We give voice, listen without judgment. We give hope, envision what could be, not just what is. Cooperate, find shared goals, to be patient, meet people where they are. We ask for grace, allow imperfection, and still hold accountability. We recognize the strengths, not just within ourselves, but within others. And what happens is that this all fosters resiliency. When we support growth, it's not just quick fixes. It takes time. I'd like to read a passage from Emergent Strategy by Adrienne Marie Brown on the topic of transformation and resiliency. Humans, especially humans who persist in trying to transform the conditions of life, are remarkably resilient. We experience so much loss, pain, and hardship, attack, and yet we still persist. Resilience is in our nature, and we recover from things that we would be justified in giving up again and again. Resilience is unveiled when we are triggered, injured, heartbroken, attacked, and challenged. I'm curious about our general resilience as social justice actors in a traumatizing world, and as collectives of people shaping the next phase of human evolution. One core practice of resilience is transformative justice, transforming the conditions that make injustice possible. Resilience is perhaps our most beautiful, miraculous trait. And we see resilience every day. Again, a teacher chooses patience over punishment. A neighbor brings soup instead of judgment. A parent apologizes to a child. A person owns their story and finds healing. These are acts of transformation. They're not flashy, but they are profound. And at the Mediation Center, the work that I do, our colleagues do, a lot of community members do, most of you do as well. You see individuals and you see that change, and it helps build hope. At the center, I've done a lot of different things with different programs. I've watched parents hardened by years of tension leave with a plan and a promise to speak kindly about each other for the sake of the child. I've seen a teenager once expelled be embraced and returned as a volunteer facilitator, giving back to their community. I've sat with a grieving family and witnessed them shift from argument to understanding. And every time it started with not control, but with imagination, with trust, what is possible. Which brings us back to that grove. The willow and the oaks didn't become strong alone. They grew resilient through relationship. So again, a lot of questions I'm about to throw on you. Who helped you become who you are today? Who held you when you were hurting? Who challenged you to grow? Who forgave you before you forgave yourself? Let us be those people. Let us speak the truth even when our voice shakes. Let us listen deeply. Let us choose repair over revenge. And let us practice courage, not certainty. As author and historian Vincent Harding once said, "I'm a citizen of a country that does not yet exist, and I want to be part of creating it." This is how we create it, together, with humility, imagination, and care. So may every humiliated mouth, teeth like desecrated headstones, fill with the angels of bread. On Sunday, September 24th, at Daffin Park, the Mediation Center will hold an annual Peace in the Park event. At this event, we celebrate International Day of Peace. This event helps bring our community together to imagine what is possible to obtain peace. Leading up to Peace in the Park, our team is asking everyone to challenge our community with questions. Again, we ask a lot of questions as mediators and facilitators. So I'm going to leave you today to think about with this last question. If peace had a zip code in Savannah, what would be happening there? Let us feed one another with dignity. Let us build a world where transformation is possible. Let us believe together that this is the year. Thank you.
This is Reverend Lisa Day. I hope you've enjoyed this program from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Please join us at one of our services sometime soon at our church on Troop Square or live on Zoom. We're the beacon of liberal religion in Savannah, and you can find out more at uusavannah.org. We meet on Sundays at 11 a.m. Thanks for listening.